Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper here on the Living Faith Television Network. I'm Dr. Don R. Zampona, the pastor at Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia. And tonight we're going to talk about truth in the end times, and specifically we're going to talk about the rapture of the church. As we think about the end times and the truth, friends, we're left to know that we are falling farther and farther away from Judeo-Christian values. We're falling farther away from morality, and that is what we are seeing in the society around us today. Are you aware that this is one of the major signs of the end times? Did you know that it's a focus of Bible prophecy, and that is given to us specifically in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? Every chapter, when we think about the Bible, there's also the book of 1 Thessalonians, and every chapter in 1 Thessalonians mentions the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read here just for a moment 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. And the word of our Lord says this: "This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord." This here is one of the clearest descriptions the Bible gives about the rapture of the church. Jesus is going to give us another clear description that I'll read in just a moment, but let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to preach the truth, especially the truth that we need to hear in these evil days when truth seems to be something that many people do not know. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to speak truth in the times in which we're living. Lord, we pray tonight that many would have an ear to hear the truth, that there would be those who would turn from their sin and turn to Jesus Christ for the very first time, that they would become saved, a saved soul going home to heaven one day soon. Lord, we pray for those who profess a false faith, that they would turn from that false faith and they would turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. But most of all, Lord, we just ask you to have your will and your way in us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what is the rapture? The rapture of the church is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to meet his church in the air. This means there's going to be a group of people who are never going to die. When Jesus comes, if you're alive, it means you will never die. Up until now, every generation, 100% of people have died, except for Enoch and Elijah that the Bible talks about. The Bible teaches that they were both raptured, but there will be a group of people on earth when Jesus returns at the rapture who will never die. And I want to be one of those people. And I'm hoping to be one of those people. Would you like to be one of those people? What about you? I want to be one of those people who go right straight to heaven and don't have to go through the grave to get there. I'm looking forward to seeing the uppertaker, not an undertaker. And as I read here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 15, as I read, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord," so it's not my word, it's the word of the Lord, "that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is going to take place in a twinkling of an eye. In other words, it's going to happen faster than we think. And all of a sudden, we're going to go from here, and we're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the rapture of the church. And it's the next event on the prophetic calendar of Almighty God. As I've shared many times before here at the church, but I'm sharing with you tonight on the television, friend, there is no prophecy left to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church can take place. There is prophecy in the Bible that needs to be fulfilled for Israel, but not the church. And so that just simply means that the rapture could happen at any moment. You see, when Paul wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians, it upset a lot of people because there was a rumor that was going around Thessalonica that the rapture had already come and they'd been left behind. Well, I think that would upset you, wouldn't it? To think that you did not get chosen to go. So the book of 2 Thessalonians was written to comfort the saints and to refute the lie. And so we begin reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 1. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of the Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Paul, remember, he's trying to comfort the saints at Thessalonica. And he says, listen, Jesus hasn't come yet. You have not been left behind. And then Paul begins to give a panoramic view of what the world will look like when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And we're going to look at three scenes from this book when the Apostle Paul is talking about the end times. And so he gives to us here scene number one, a world in rebellion to God with the man of sin, the Antichrist, ready to lead them. Paul says, don't worry, Jesus hasn't come yet, and he's not going to come until there be a worldwide falling away from the truth. Well, what does this mean? He means a rejection of biblical Christianity, a rejection of Judeo-Christian morality, and Paul says Jesus isn't going to come until that happens. And so let's talk about this in two different ways, because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, we're going to look at here, the Antichrist is known by many different names in the Scripture, and he's called the Lawless One. Now, lawless is the word anomia in the Greek language, and it means against the Word of God. It means you don't believe in the Word of God. You do not believe in Jesus Christ. But according to John 1:1, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And the Bible, and Paul is saying, the Bible says that the Antichrist will be completely antithetical to the Word of God. He is against it. He is against the Word of God. And what we're seeing in the world right now is the fulfillment of Paul's prophecy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And friends, that means that we can measure that in two ways. The falling away of the world from the truth and the falling away of the church from the truth. You see, in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, we read, "And then that shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Well, I want to talk to you for just a moment about apostasy. You know, I grew up in a world where we prayed in school. It was a place where the Ten Commandments hung on the walls of my public school. And every day began with a prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. That was the world that I grew up in. It was a completely different world from the one in which we are living today. Back then, you just assumed that your next-door neighbors were Christians and all your teachers were Christians. But, you know, that was just the kind of world that it was. But in 1962, prayer was banned in public schools. And in 1980, open display of the Ten Commandments was also banned in public schools. And right now, we have a wholesale rejection in 2023 of biblical morality in our society. This is a post-Christian, a post-Bible society, because the Bible is under open attack daily in the world right now. Over the past 10 years, there have been open attacks of displays of faith in even our armed forces. You go back to 2014 for an example. On February 1st of that year, Marine Lance Corporal Monica Sterling was convicted for refusing to remove a Bible verse from her computer that said, "No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper." She was ordered to remove that verse, and she refused based upon her religious freedom, and they court-martialed her. The Military Religious Foundation called for a court-martial, U.S. Air Force Major General Craig Olson, because he dared to acknowledge his faith during the National Day of Prayer. Do you realize in the world in which we're living right now, the Bible is considered hate speech by many? There is a rise of atheism in America and around the world today, and these are just two of many examples we could mention that have occurred just over the last 10 years. And these attacks are picking up steam the world over. So what we're seeing in our world today is apostasy, a turning away from the truth of God's Word in the world. But unfortunately, we're seeing the same thing in the church. Now, Jesus prophesied that when he returned, half the church would be false. And in Matthew 24, the disciples came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, when is the end going to come?" Jesus said, "Don't let anyone deceive you." And he gave a graphic description of the world that you and I are living in today. And Jesus gave three parables in Matthew chapter 25 about his return and how to prepare for his return. And the first parable he gave was the parable of the virgins. And this is where he said that when he comes, half the church is going to be false. Listen to what Jesus said from Matthew 25. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now Jesus did not say that we wouldn't know the season and that we wouldn't know the signs of the times. He just said, we don't know the day or the hour. Now, there are 10 virgins in this story, and the bridegroom is Jesus, and the 10 virgins are the church in the world today. And know what Jesus said, when I come, half the church is going to be ready. They're going to have their lamps trimmed. They're going to be ready when I come back. But he also has said, half the church will not know me. Half the church is not going to be prepared for my return. And this is happening right now before our eyes. Do you realize that many churches and many denominations are rejecting the truth that is written in God's holy word? Many churches today are pro-abortion and give to abortion-provided groups their money. A growing number are ordaining practicing homosexuals. Several are pro-gay marriage, and this is dividing the church right down the middle. Right now in America and around the world, many denominations are dividing right down the middle over this issue. You see, many do not believe in the inerrancy of the scriptures, and half the church does not believe in a literal hell or a literal devil. And so let me say this, if the Bible is lying to us about hell, do you think then that it is telling us the truth about heaven? Let me say it another way. If one thing in this book is wrong, if just one thing is wrong, how can any of us trust the Bible? Do you know that Jesus Christ taught more about hell than he did about heaven? Is Jesus Christ a liar? Does he not know what he is talking about? Friends, the truth is there is a literal devil, there is a literal hell, and this book is absolutely the infallible, inspired Word of God. Many churches today believe in universalism, which means that Jesus is not the only way to heaven, and other religions can get you there if you're a good person. Many today are saying, I will not define myself or my sexuality by the four corners of the Bible. And sadly, this is a clear rejection of the truth. Now listen to me. Much of the church is true, and they are ready for the return of Jesus Christ. But what we're seeing is that many churches and denominations are rejecting the clear teachings of the Holy Bible. And what I'm saying to you is this, the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, Jesus Christ has not come yet, and he will not come until there is a great falling away from the truth, and we're watching it take place right before our eyes. Jesus prophesied, and he said, when I return, half the church is going to be false, and I will not know them, and they only pretend to know me, but they don't truly know me. Friend, do you know him as Lord? Now, I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back, but the Bible describes the world that will exist when Jesus returns, and it brings me to scene two. This is what the Apostle Paul describes as the rapture of the church, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Paul says there is going to be a great falling away from the truth, but then he who now restrains will be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit in the church, and the word he is a capital H there. And the only restraining force in the world right now is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God and the church through which the Holy Spirit works. If you are a faithful member of a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching, believing church, you are a restraining force in this world today against evil. What are we restraining? We're restraining evil. We are a restraining force against evil in this world today, and we need to pray that all churches would stand up and all churches would stand strong for the truth of the Word of God. Now I want you to imagine with me for a moment a world without a Christian in it. Because that's exactly the world that's going to occur the minute the rapture happens. The instant the rapture happens, there is no more preaching on sin. You won't find a guy like me. There's not one person in the world who believes in the Bible. There's not one person in the world leading a person to Jesus Christ, except the 144,000 Jews who are mentioned in the book of Revelation. It is a completely different world. And the Apostle Paul says here, the restrainer is going to be taken out of the way. Friends, this is the rapture. Let me say a couple of things here. This is the rapture. The Antichrist is not going to be revealed until after the rapture. So who he is, I don't know. But what I do know is that in today's world, unfortunately, there's a whole lot of good candidates. And so it's hard to nail it down. Make no mistake, the Bible teaches there's going to be a rapture. And when the rapture comes, will you be ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Do you believe the truth that the Bible teaches? Do you believe that Jesus is alive? Do you believe that the Bible doesn't tell the truth? I hope you believe the Bible. Listen, no matter how bad it gets, and it is getting bad throughout this world today, we need to remember that God is working out His plan, and God is working out His program. Your friend, we need to be a part of His plan and His program, and we get to be a part simply because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Are you saved tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I pray that you do. Because soon and very soon, the Bible teaches in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the shout is going to come, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we who are alive and remain are going to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I pray you'll be there. I pray you'll be with Jesus in heaven, that you are ready should the Lord come. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word to us tonight. And, oh, Lord, we just ask and we pray for a soul who needs to be saved tonight, that they would hear this message. Lord, that they'll repent of their sin, that they'll pray, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go home to heaven. Forgive me, Lord. And I just pray for the blood of Jesus Christ to comfort me and heal me and to bring me into your presence. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And if you prayed a prayer like that tonight, if you prayed that prayer after me tonight, and you prayed it from the sincerity of your heart, and you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you let us know here at the church so we can get a Bible into your hands so that we can help you begin your new walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us tonight, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.